Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. Thank you for helping us celebrate our 10th anniversary week, where, as I warned you, we're going to be a little obnoxious with it this week because we're kind of proud of it, and we wouldn't want to have this week without our good friend Steve Forbes. You know Steve very well in his own right, all the things that he's done over the years. He's, in addition to being editor-in-chief of Forbes magazine, he's also president of Forbes. His newest book is called Flat Tax Revolution, which I wish he'd get back on the stump on and keep talking about. And as I said, he's our good friend. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Jim, congratulations on your 10th. Good to be with you.
It's good to have you here. And by the way, folks, just to put my 10th into perspective, Forbes has recently celebrated their 90th anniversary. Right, Steve?
Yes, we did. And not drawing any Social Security either.
There you go. Well, you know, by the time you and I get there, Steve, there may not be anything there.
The way the Washington politicians are running it, that's a real fear.
That's exactly right. In fact, I think they've already spent our money, haven't they?
They have indeed. When the money comes in, it goes right out, and they give the so-called Social Security Trust Fund an IOU that even Enron wouldn't touch.
Yeah, I just wonder, you know, whenever I get to the point where I'll draw Social Security, if I'm going to get a little envelope that says, you know, IOU, Joe Biden, or Al Gore, or something like that.
Yeah. be worse than a subprime mortgage bond.
Exactly, which we're going to talk about in a minute. But before we do, Steve, I want you to talk to my audience about the economic outlook. We're going to talk about some of the specifics in a minute, the subprime, the gas, that sort of thing, and please blend that into what you're going to say. But in general, when you look at the economy for the next 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, what do you think?
Well, I think in the next few months, obviously, things have slowed down a bit in the fallout from what happened to the credit markets. I think next year, as the year wears on, after the first quarter, things will start to pick up again, probably at a time when the media will be full of doom and gloom. So tighten your seatbelts in the next 6 months, then the air should start to get a little better.
Is the media going to help us talk ourselves into a recession, Steve?
Well, they always emphasize the negative, and they just seem to latch on and love stories that portray us as going into the big black hole, world coming to an end. But the key is for Congress, not Congress, that's hopeless, but the President and the Republicans to make sure we don't have any destructive tax bills. Federal Reserve has got to get its act together and start stabilizing the dollar. We do those two things, we're going to come out of this okay.
One of the things that I worry about, Steve, and I mentioned this to you once before, just when you and I were talking, when we met face-to-face last time, I've been thinking a lot about the media, as you talk about, wringing their hands and looking for the bad news. It seems to me that the media spends more time looking at Wall Street and their you know, hysterical gyrations than they do looking at Main Street, where the real customers and the real businesses are. And what do you think about that? Am I right about that?
Well, they are focused on Wall Street, and the sad thing is that Wall Street makes a mess of things, or more particularly if the Federal Reserve and the banks in particular, big banks, don't do well, then that has repercussions for the rest of the economy. But you're right, the fundamentals of the U.S. economy are still very strong in terms of productivity, amazingly job creation, and while we have a rough patch here, we don't make mistakes, or Washington doesn't make mistakes, those fundamentals will come through and we'll pull out.
And the rough patch, in my opinion, has been partially created not by most of the people on Main Street.
Manifestly, it has not been created by people on Wall Street. It was a combination of the Federal Reserve printing too much money. That's the equivalent of, say, a fuel injector that pumps too much fuel into the engine. You're going to stall it. Some of the mortgage bankers went into practices that violated all the concepts of banking 101. And Wall Street went on a binge, and when you have a binge, you have a hangover.
You know, Steve, you warned us about this a few years ago. You said what you just said on this show more than once, every time you've been here over the last couple of 3 years, without saying it was going to turn into a subprime meltdown. You warned us that something like this was going to happen because of all the liquidity.
Well, when you have liquidity, Jim, excess liquidity, lending standards go down. And people get in the business who shouldn't be in the business, do things that shouldn't be done. The others follow suit. And soon you have all of them jumping off the cliff like lemmings.
Well, exactly. And we're going to take a quick break, folks. And when we come back, I'm going to ask Steve about that, about why we can't learn from these things. And I'm going to take us all the way back to, I think, maybe like the 16th century, some things that we should have learned all the way back then, and then some things that happened in the last 7 years that we should have learned from, but we seem to not be able to. 20 till, I'm Jim Blassingame. We'll be right back with Steve Forbes. Stay with us.
Joan Pride with the Kiplinger Editors. Has it really been 10 years? I guess it only feels like 20. Anyway, happy anniversary.
Everybody's a comedian. That's Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, with our good friend at Kiplinger. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're rocking and rolling with our good friend Steve Forbes, editor-in-chief of Forbes Magazine, president of Forbes, and I could be saying that he had been and maybe would be now our president of the United States, because I've said this before, Steve. I know you just like being an agitator now, but I'd like to live in a world where there was a president, Steve Forbes.
Well, thank you, Jim, and you would put you in charge of the Federal Reserve.
My first job then, as I did that, would be to appoint somebody who knew what they were doing. I want to come back to the Fed thing in just a minute, but before we do, I want to talk about the subprime meltdown. Steve, I'm looking at one of my favorite books on my shelf here in my studio. It was written by a guy named Charles McKay back in 1848, and the title of the book is Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds. And he talks about the tulipomania in the 16th century, the South Sea Bubble, and the Mississippi Scheme back in the 18th centuries. We had the SNL debacle in the 80s. We had the dot bombs in the 90s. Why haven't we learned that you cannot suspend the basic fundamentals of economics? Why are we still doing this, Steve?
Human emotions are human emotions. And the key phrase on that, Jim, is this time it's different. When you hear that, clutch your money and run for the hills.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and what we saw in the subprime meltdown, you would think after Enron, off-balance sheet entities would be under high suspicion.
Yep.
But to a lot of banks and firms, looked like a way of making big fees, borrowing short, lending long. Problem is, to lend long, to get a high rate, you had to go for junk. But those fees were awfully enticing, and it's like that drink, you know, makes you feel good, so you have another and another.
Yep.
Before you know it, boom.
You know, Steve, I forgot to mention all of the junk bonds that we had back in the early 80s. My question is, are there other shoes to drop? Are there other subprime meltdown shoes waiting to drop that are going to be very detrimental to the marketplace?
Well, we don't know where the bodies are yet, and that's one reason why, even though when you look at the total size of the American economy, the total assets in the American economy, not to mention the global economy, Wall Street on a bad day, the stock market on a bad day, will lose more money than what we're ultimately going to lose in the subprime situation.
Right.
But we don't know where the bad stuff is. It's like you get to read a news story that say certain bags of lettuce are tainted. Well, most aren't, but until you know which ones are, you're not going to buy any of it.
Exactly.
So people back off. And that's what we're seeing here. Where's the bad stuff? Find it, write it off. There's no market for it. Who wants to touch it? You don't really know what's in it. So the market tends to seize up. So it's going to take a few months to sort this stuff out. The losses, proportionately, Jim, are not going to be as bad as the SNL losses of the early 90s.
Exactly. Not by
but
far.
It's going to take time to sort the thing out.
But here's what worries me about this whole thing, Steve. I'm not worried about Citibank or Bear Stearns or any of those guys. I'm not worried about those guys. I'm worried about I'm worried about what Congress is going to do. Somebody in the Wall Street Journal called it, let me see if I can find that, they called it the Anti-Mortgage Lending Act.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm worried about a Sarbanes-Oxley type of legislation that could come out of this that could screw up the mortgage industry, the most advanced, most well-developed mortgage industry in the world, the United States has. They might screw this up like they did our capital markets with Sarbanes-Oxley. What do you think?
Well, that is a danger, and that's why anything that goes beyond rules about the full disclosure, I'm all for that. So borrowers know what's there, what the real costs are if rates go up. That's all fine, full information. But when you make it so that the personal injury lawyers can come in,
yeah,
and they use vague phrases in that legislation to file lawsuits, who's going to want to buy a mortgage? Who's going to want to make a mortgage if you know you're going to buy yourself a lawsuit if something goes wrong, a jury trial? You're not going to do it.
That's right. Well, I remember Sarbanes-Oxley, Steve, passed in, what was it, 03, I think it was. In 90 days, it went through Congress. And I wrote a piece back in those days. I said, folks, anytime our government does anything in 90 days, gird your loins and buckle your seatbelts. And it's turned out to be a bad legislation, because everybody who they wrote those laws in reaction to is in jail under laws that were already in place.
Exactly. And to take your point, anything that passes Congress unanimously in 90 days is highly suspect.
That's exactly right. Steve, you're a big believer in gold, aren't you?
I think gold is the best indicator around of monetary weather, monetary disturbances. If it's shooting up or going down, you know something wrong is happening.
Well, you know, it's close to, it's between, what, $800 and $900 now? I've forgotten the exact number. I saw the other day, I saw you on Larry Kudlow's show, and I don't know if it was that day or not, but I think it may have been. He put up a graph that showed that in current dollar value, that the gold high has already been at $1,400 an ounce. It's now over $800. His point was that gold is not as bad as you know, inflation may not be as bad as we think it is based on gold.
Well, gold has a thing to keep in mind about gold is that it has a constant value.
Yeah.
And if the dollar price fluctuates, that means the market's perceptions of the dollar are changing. And so gold should be, if the dollar was steady in value, the dollar price of gold would be steady in value. So when it starts to shoot up, that means that bad things are happening.
Speaking of which,
in the late 90s, when gold prices went down, plummeted, that was a sign there was not enough credit, and we got the 2001 recession.
Right. When we come back, I'm going to ask Steve to tell us what he thinks about the dollar and what that means to small business. And we're going to talk some politics right after these messages. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Anniversary, baby, got you on my mind. Happy anniversary, baby, got you on my mind.
We're back. It's 7 till the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, celebrating 10 years of the Small Business Advocate Show. Thank you very much to all of you out there for the part you played, being good customers of ours. And as I always encourage you to tell your customers, thank you for the business, folks. And as a friend of mine says to his customers, thank you for the food. Steve Forbes, you'd say that to your customers, wouldn't you?
Yes, indeed. They pay the freight.
That's exactly right. Steve Forbes, ladies and gentlemen. And by the way, Steve, give us your website, please.
Yeah, the website is Forbes.com, www.forbes.com.
It's a profitable website, too, isn't it?
It is indeed. We have now about 18 million unique visits a month.
Wow.
And we've been making some additions. We have Forbes Travel, Forbes Autos. We've got Investopedia for people who want basic investment information. Investopedia.com is a great place to go.
Well, check it out, folks, Forbes.com. And can they still get your Flat Tax Revolution book?
Yes, they can. Just go on Amazon.com, and it's right there at a discount.
When are you going to get back on the stump on that?
Well, I'm working, trying to get some political candidates to move in that direction. I'm working with Rudy Giuliani now.
You're his national campaign chairman, I know. And is he going to bite on the flat tax revolution?
He's biting on the simplicity. Just the other day in New Hampshire, for example, he held up a sheet of paper, small sheet of paper, and said there's no reason why the American people shouldn't be able to fill out a tax return on that single sheet of paper. So he's
right.
Moving there.
Absolutely. Well, good for you. I'm glad to know that. And I think that could make a big difference in juxtaposing his position against Hillary's, who is the apparent nominee for the Democrats.
And she and the other Democrats, to them, taxes go one way up.
Yeah. Steve, what do you think the economy would look like if we had a Democrat White House, Democrat Congress?
Oh, Jim, that's too horrible to contemplate. It would mean higher taxes. It would mean more regulations. It would mean more spending.
Less trade.
More trade barriers. All the things that hurt small business, that's what they'd go for.
I heard Chris Dodd, who's running for president, as you know, from Connecticut.
Right.
I heard him the other day identifying himself on national television as a business-friendly Democrat. Why did he have to say that?
What he means by business-friendly is, you give me contributions, and I'll say nice things about you, and as I take the money from you.
But why did he feel that he needed to tell the public that he was a Democrat who was in favor of business? Why wouldn't that be understood?
Well, that's just the thing. People know that these people are tax raisers, that they hurt people, especially small entrepreneurs, people trying to start a new business, people trying to grow their businesses. And so when they say they're business friendly, it's like a wolf saying, I love lambs.
I miss Paul Tsongas, Steve, because he's the Democrat who used to say to his party, he told his own party, he said, folks, we can't love the employee and hate the employer.
Right.
The late Paul Tsongas. I wish he were still here. Between he and Joe Lieberman, maybe they could put some reasoning to these guys. Steve, I've got a minute and a half. I want to talk just a little bit about the dollar, but before I do, your last thoughts on the presidential race.
Well, I think, sadly, she's still the front runner on the Democratic side, even though
Senator
she's finally getting roughed up a little bit. On the Republican side, I'm a little prejudiced. I think Rudy Giuliani's still the front runner there and will win the nomination, but it's going to be a tough fight. And I would urge all your listeners, get involved, ask questions of all candidates. If we don't get involved, we can't be complaining about what happens.
When will we know? When do you think? I need a prediction out of you. When will we know who the nominees are?
We'll know in February. February 5th, Jim, we have 20 primaries.
Yep.
That could be the big day.
So I'm going to get you back here on February. I'm going to get you back here on February 6th and see if if your predictions came true. Steve, 30 seconds. The dollar's under attack. What are we going to do?
The Federal Reserve is going to doodle and dawdle, and the markets are going to force a change in U.S. policy to finally come to the dollar's defense and realize that a strong dollar means a strong economy.
How do you defend the dollar?
You defend it by supporting it against other currencies. You defend it by not printing too much money, by selling bonds and removing some of the excess money from the banking system. It's like getting the fuel injector working right.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Steve, it's always a pleasure to have you here. Thank you for all you do for all of us.
Jim, thank you. You were great, and congratulations again on your 10th.
Congratulations to you on your 90th.
Thank you,
Steve,
sir.
Steve Forbes, ladies and gentlemen, and he is, as Confucius says, as he appears to be. He's our friend. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, and this program always has been and always will be for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.